Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Tuesday night, December 23rd, 2025. It is Christmas Eve here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I'm DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week on this show, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius Podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Rob, sir. How you doing? Well, I know we talked a little bit about it in the kickoff show, but how you doing?
Well, this week I'm also the man with the missing wallet.
Nice. Good job, buddy.
So, yeah, I was getting ready to come to work and Monday, and I went to get my wallet in the usual places. It was not there. And I was like, oh, shit. So I looked all around. Couldn't find it.
Right.
So I figured, I must have dropped it somewhere. So my last hope was that maybe I left it at the office. Of course, the only problem with that means I had to have the train station with no driver's license. and hope to not get pulled over. So I did manage to do that, and I got to the office, looked around, was not there, and so I had to come back home the same way and, you know, hope to not get pulled over, and I did that. So then I got, I had to get my cards canceled, and, I had to get a temporary driver's license and all that, and it's just, and this is the worst possible week of the year to have to do all of that stuff.
Yeah, what day was this?
Monday.
Oh, Jesus.
So, yeah. This is the worst possible week to have to do any of this type of stuff because, thankfully there were enough people at the DMV today that I was able to get a temporary license.
The DMV is always I dread going to the DMV because even if you make an appointment, sometimes, man, you're just sitting there. What it feels like forever. Realistically, it may not be more than an hour. Just but for whatever reason, it's in like a time vortex at the DMV. I swear, it's like watching Interstellar. It's like you're on this planet where every minute is like 10 years, and you're like, oh god, what the hell? It's like time dilation here. It's just some horrible experience. So I feel for you. Hopefully, you were in and out fairly quickly.
It wasn't long, because we have there's smaller ones like DMV Express.
Yeah.
For shorter things. So, and then I was in line, and then they have a little self-serve machine also that you can if you have something simple, you can just go do that.
Yeah.
So now, of course, the only problem was, I go to the machine and I go to the menu and replace my driver's license. And then they need my driver's license number.
Oh, like, God.
That's gross.
I was like, I don't know it.
Do you have it memorized?
No.
Dude, I don't remember. I remember certain numbers in mind, but I do not have my driver's license number memorized. Yeah. I never have.
So I went to the lady at the desk, and I was just like, yeah, I don't know my driver's license number. So she just kind of leaned and whispered to me, like, well, what's your social security number? And so I just, you know, I whispered that to her. She looked it up. She found my driver's license number, and she wrote down a piece of paper for me. I said, thank you. So I was able to do that. So
I'm kind of so shocked. I feel like that would happen once a day or, you know, several times a day to them. So she wouldn't, should, yeah. That's just weird. Like, what do you need that for? Well, your machines are dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a number I have never logged into memory, was my driver's license number.
It's too long. I can't. Yeah, I can't.
It is.
There's only, ours is only 9, so.
Oh, yours only 9?
I think so. Let
me see if I don't have my wallet in front of me.
I'm not going to say it out loud on recording, but.
Quite a few.
Oh, man, because ours are like.
Yeah, it starts with a letter and then there's 9 numbers. And I do know it.
Oh, because mine is longer than that. Ours starts with a letter, but then there's like, I think there's like 12 or 15 numbers.
Yeah,
ours are pretty long. No, ours are a lot easier.
So. Oh. Yeah, I mean, I got to be fair to my DMV. If there were 2 years in a row where I made appointments, I went in and I was in and out in less than 20 minutes. I'm like, what is this? You know, I don't know whether I just timed it right, got in the door at the right time of day or what, but I literally, there was one day I walked in at 1:02 and I was walking back out with my license at 1:21. It was amazing. It was the greatest experience ever in the DMV. So I highly recommend if you can do it and it's available in your area, make an appointment. The one by me does tend to get you in and out fairly quickly unless they're just inundated. So that's my recommendation for you. My pro tip going in, you know, leaving 2025 into 2026, if you need to replace your license, get a license or get a new license, make an appointment. Save yourself the hassle.
And at least around here, I recommend go during the middle of the day if you can.
Yeah.
Because if you go in the morning, you have a rush of people trying to get in there before they go to work. And then if you wait too late, you got the rush of people coming after they got off of work and, you know, trying to get in before it closes. So if you go in the middle of the day, you possibly can. And
that's what I did with my old job. I had Friday afternoons off and I would just haul ass out of work at noon, get there around 12:30, 1 o'clock, depending on traffic. And those couple of years in a row were kind of nice. And I usually do the 2 year on mine, just renew it for 2 years. So I don't have to go back for a couple of years. Cause I just hate going to the DMV. So I'll pay the money for the 2 year.
Oh yeah. Cause our registrations, they all run 2 years.
Do they? See, we have the option of 1 year or two. So, all right. Well, last but never, ever, ever least, he is the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9. He is Bucky's tag team partner, the man with the bionic back, destined to go through a barbershop window and searching through his wallet for whatever reason I do not know.
Jason. Oh, I wanted to see if I was right about my license number.
Okay. Well, Jason, sir, you have a lot of activity going on in the background here. You guys are probably going to hear
about that, guys. Noise. We're just getting finished with day one. Well, day two, really, of the infamous Howl Family Cinnamon Rolls. I'll give a quick summary for any of our newer listeners. When I was a young boy, actually, when I didn't even exist yet, and my mother got the bright idea that one day she was going to make cinnamon rolls for all of our family and friends. I say our, even though I wasn't there yet. And it became a tradition that she would make cinnamon rolls Christmas morning, she would Christmas Eve, and my father and my brother and, you know, when my brother and my sister were old enough and then, you know, when I was old enough, we'd spend Christmas Eve, Christmas week, and especially Christmas morning.
She didn't have a dog.
We would also, we would deliver Christmas cinnamon rolls to everybody in the neighborhood. The trick with that is, as a young man, I had to learn this lesson because all 100 and some years, 200 cinnamon rolls would have to be distributed to everyone on our list before a single present on the Howe family tree was opened. And that is a tradition that we continue now with my wife and I. It's not as big of a deal when you're not a 12-year-old kid wanting a lightsaber under the tree or something like that. But yeah, so how many, what's the final count for this year? 130-something? 110. So we're at 110 rolls this year, so.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we're busy little elves over here, mostly.
Yeah.
To be perfect.
Yeah, you guys are. You guys are working and doing your thing, getting yourselves ready for Christmas. And I think we can probably kick off this show talking a little bit about Christmas. Let's start with, you know, we'll come back to Jason in a minute because they're still wrapping things up over there. Let's go to Rob. Rob, you about ready for Christmas?
Yep, I gotta wrap stuff, but that's it. Other than that, I'm good. And I didn't think to get a shorter Christmas tree because because I'm worried that if I put the one I have that's taller, that
yeah,
certain inhabitant of this household would try to jump on it or climb it or something, and that probably would not end well.
Yeah, we're cat people.
Yeah,
here
damn it, Miles. Will you tell that kid to relax?
Yeah, we're cat people here. Rob's talking about his cat, Miss Kitty. Surprisingly, usually our older cat, Sasha, she attacks the Christmas tree. Like, first year, Kenan and I had a tree together. We had the glass balls, and she broke, like, half of them. So the next year, we got the plastic ones. And for the years after that, she would knock them off. We'd find them under the tree, under the couch, halfway across the house. This year, unless somebody just has put them back on the tree and not told me, I don't think she's messed with it too much. And thankfully, the rest of the cats don't really. Bucky. Oh, yep. Bucky, the one of the mascots here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We have cat mascots and dog mascots, and Jason's tag team partner is currently getting a treat, and he's up on camera. So, yeah, the cats have thankfully not messed with the tree this year. So, Rob, have you got the kids, like, for the holiday, or are you splitting with Mom?
Christmas Day, they're going to spend with both of us. They're going to be with their mother earlier on. They're going to be with me later. Yeah. And they're going to be, it's my weekend for them to be here. So they'll be here with me this weekend.
Well, that's nice. That's nice. So you're going to go, you planning on going and seeing your mom on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
Yeah, we're going to my mom's house to like lunch or, yeah, she could call it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Jason, as he is busy in his kitchen.
We're finally winding down. So.
Finally winding down. No, it's all good. So, Jason, I know you guys are delivering all your cinnamon rolls. Where do you guys land after that?
We'll land. We're actually hosting dinner this year.
Okay.
Usually we end up at her sister's and my Christmas Day is kind of a whirlwind for us. We really don't really have a plan because everybody does Christmas morning and then kind of just does their own thing. So this time we're just going to bop around. Because her family and my family are all within 15 minutes, 20 minutes, every direction from our house. So, yeah, we just bop around on Christmas. So
yeah, that's not too bad. Yeah, we're doing, let's see, I'm working straight through. Like, the only day I have off is actually Christmas Day. I'm working tomorrow. Tina's going to take me to work, pick me up from work, and we're going to go to my aunt's for Christmas Eve dinner because she's literally like 10 minutes away from my job. So we'll go see her tomorrow night. Then we'll do Christmas Day at Tina's family's. My son lives with me, so he'll probably come with us and we'll do Christmas with him. My daughter lives with her mother. She's working a lot as well. She's currently working two jobs. So getting together with her is going to prove rather difficult. So I think what I'm going to do is after New Year's, I'm going to get together with her on that Saturday and we're going to do our Christmas with her. So it's going to be kind of spread out over the week as to what we're doing. a little bit hectic. That's just the way it fell. Me being in a new job, I wasn't really in any place of cachet to be asking for time off around the holidays. So, and I've got a vacation coming up at the end of January anyway, so I didn't have any real time off to spend for any holiday time. So that's going to be my Christmas this year. Rather busy. One day to breathe and maybe eat some food and have a drink. I'm jealous of the cinnamon rolls. I'm also sitting here thinking about my situation and how I love cinnamon rolls. And this is my first Christmas, like, being full-blown diabetic. And I know I talked about this at Thanksgiving, how much that was a struggle because I have the worst sweet tooth known to man. And all I want to do is bury my face in, like, a pumpkin pie or a cheesecake or brownies or cookies or some stuff like that. And it has been the hardest struggle to not do that. And my wonderful girlfriend has been just diligent and tireless about finding a keto-friendly or keto, depending on how you pronounce it, keto-friendly desserts. And she made a fantastic cheesecake for my birthday. She made a really good pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving. So the options were out there, but sometimes it's just not the same. And as I'm on this journey, I've been really good. I've been working out like a maniac. I've been really watching my diet, and I think I've afforded myself some runway to have, like, a real dessert for Christmas this year and treat myself a little bit. So I'm looking forward to that. So, Bob, what's your favorite dessert around Christmas time?
I like the my mom makes this pumpkin bread.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so that's why I always look forward to getting that from her when she makes it. But...
yeah, pumpkin bread's delicious. Pumpkin bread, banana bread, sign me
it's
up.
My favorite dessert. That's my favorite dessert. Old Fezziwig.
I have never seen that in the store. Is that exclusive to?
It's probably harder to find around where you are. I mean, it is there, like, Seminole holiday flavor, but it is a pretty limited run. But it's just like a red ale that's like spiced. Hang on. Let's see here.
I can read you the story. Like the character that inspired it, the spiced ale is warm, festive, and, worthy of celebration. All on its own. Its full body accompanies a deep malt character, sweet toffee flavors, and rich dark caramel. Cheers, gentlemen.
That actually sounds pretty good. Around the holidays, I might have to partake in that.
Yeah.
All right, Jason.
If you guys ever get up here, we're going to Sam Adams. That's for sure.
Oh, please do. Please. I told you that a long time ago. I get up there. I want at least a day to go over there and do that.
Yes, sir.
So, Jason, aside from cinnamon rolls, do you have a favorite Christmas dessert?
Aside from cinnamon rolls, I really don't. Because, I mean, the desserts that I would tell you are just desserts I'd have all around. Like, oh, my sister's sugar cookies that are shaped like, you know, Christmas trees. You know, a few months ago they were shaped like jack-o'-lanterns, but they all taste wonderful. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm a dessert guy, so I'll take anything.
Oh, yeah, I told you guys a few minutes ago, that's my Achilles heel right there is desserts, man.
The question like that, like, aside from cinnamon rolls, I'm like, I don't know what to do, man. That is the Christmas dessert.
That's the Christmas dessert. Yeah, but the only thing I don't like are, like, fruit pies and cobblers. I'm not big on, like, I've had apple pies that I really, really like. Like, if it's fresh apples and it's a homemade apple pie, I'll tear into it. Same thing with blueberry. But, like, store-bought stuff, not a big fan because I don't like the glaze, the goo that they're in. Yeah. So, like pumpkin pies.
That's the weirdest thing for me, too. Once a fruit is in, like, jam, jelly, goo area, I'm like, some stuff I don't mind it at all, and I'll have it by the pound, and the other stuff I'm like, don't even look at.
Yeah.
But then once it gets down to juice, I love almost all varieties again.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Cause, homemade apple pie, I love that. And as far as I like peach cobbler.
Yeah. I love the crumbly stuff they put on top of cobbler. I'll scrape that off and eat the crumbles.
That's so good.
That's such good stuff, pal. And I love pie crust. Like, with those types of things. I love the crusts, and so it's kind of a thing. I can't get past the gelatinous goo that the fruit is floating around in. I just don't do that.
Since we're recording on Christmas Eve, and my wife would My wife would be very remiss if I did not mention to everyone Happy Festivus. And so while Eli Knight is coming out to have a match here, and while I'm very high on that young man, who was the guy who I want to talk to the guy who made his name, or because like we just had an Eli Drake and we or what's his, what was Drake before he was LA Knight and then he was Eli
Drake, then he was LA Knight, Drake,
and then obviously Max Dupree. No, excuse me, Max Dupree. But anyway, how do we get an Eli Knight and an LA Knight on the same company? Someone needs to get, you know.
I don't know. There's about 7 different Lees in the entire wrestling community, and none of them are related, so I think it's okay.
And we've also
got Brody Lee, Wes Lee, Isaiah Lee, AJ Lee.
No, dude, I'm saying this guy has Eli Dragon Drake, Lee. What's his name's name? Now, and now he's LA Knight, and now this guy is Eli Knight. So it's, yeah. It's a funny
name. Yeah, so.
They're running out of names. So there's only so many names, guys.
And the name generator they need to work on.
Yeah, and, I mean, we got how many Adams do we have in AEW?
Yeah,
all of them.
And and not to mention the two Samoans named Joe.
That's my favorite wrestling, the two Samoan Joes.
Yes.
The Samoan named Joe and Samoa Joe. That's great.
Yes.
So while we're on the subject, Jason brought up a beer called Old Fezziwig, and that references my favorite all-time Christmas movie. It just fell right out of my head. Oh, my God. Christmas Carol. I am tired, guys. We're 2 days into this week, and I'm already exhausted.
All right, but you got to be specific. Which Christmas Carol?
And I was getting to that.
Don't give me this bullcrap.
I was getting to that. My favorite one is the one by with George C. Scott from 1981. And it's just my favorite. It's the one I watched as a kid. I watched the older one from the 50s over my mom's shoulder a couple times, but I was just one of those kids where if I walked in and something was in black and white, I kept walking. You know, I lived in a colorized world, and to me, anything in black and white was old, even if it came out 10 years before me. So, yeah, George C. Scott's Christmas Carol is my all-time favorite Christmas movie. Jason, yours?
All-time favorite Christmas movie is A Christmas Story.
Okay.
However, I have several, you know, runners-up. We got to watch Elf at least once during Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life. To answer my own question, who's the gentleman in your Christmas Carol?
George C. Scott.
Well, I prefer the one with Kermit D. Frog.
Okay.
That's mine. Because, I'm sorry, I only learned this like this year, maybe last year. But you know how we all kind of just laughed at the line? Because Gonzo and Rizzo played basically the narrators throughout the movie. And at the very end, Gonzo gives that speech. And Tiny Tim, who did not die, went on to blah, blah, blah. I just thought that was like a funny line as a kid, and then as an adult, I was just like, okay, it's just like laying it all out there. It's funny. No, that is a straight up line from Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. It's one of the last lines in the thing.
It is.
It's in one of the not die. Scrooge was a second father, and blah blah blah.
Yeah, that's in the George C. Scott one as well. I would imagine it's in most of them. I haven't seen all of the versions that are out there, but I would imagine it's because it's an important piece of dialogue.
I know, but it's just so funny that's the way they put it. Instead of like, you know, we've seen millions of things in movies where it's like a quick flash forward to a year later or blah, 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 blah. Nope, they just tell you, by the way, don't worry, Tiny Tim didn't die.
Yeah, the little crippled kid made it. It's okay, guys.
It's all good.
It's going to be okay.
Nope, there didn't even need like a post-credit scene of him like throwing his crutches aside like Seth Rollins or anything. Nope.
Yeah.
Tiny Tim, who did not die. Everybody calm down. I love that. Gonzo nails that line in the movie because it's just the way he says it. Like, aren't you excited, everybody? Tiny Tim, who did not die.
That is Jim Henson's way of reminding people, hey, kids are watching this.
Yeah, kids show, baby.
Rob, do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
I mean, I have several that I like. I like It's a Wonderful Life, and the older Christmas Carol, and the older one that you were talking about from the 50s.
I think it was from like 51 or something like that.
Yeah. But I'm going to be that guy that picks a movie that took place during Christmas at Die Hard.
No, shut up. It's a Christmas movie.
It is. Yep. I don't care what Macaulay Culkin says.
That movie cannot function on St. Patrick's Day.
No.
No.
It doesn't hit the same. It doesn't land the same.
If you think that Die Hard works as an any holiday movie, I'm fully confident you've never seen it or haven't seen it in 20 years.
Well, buddy, Macaulay Culkin seems to think that any holiday can be shoehorned into the Die Hard movie.
Cool. I assume he hasn't seen the movie ever or in 20 years.
It's Macaulay Culkin. So.
Yeah. I mean, the only...
Or he coked it out of his head. He saw it 10 years ago, or did whatever. Hey, okay. God bless.
I mean, maybe Thanksgiving because, you know, you're going home to or going to see family or whatever. I mean, maybe.
No office is having a midnight party right before that, dude.
Home. Yeah, nobody's having a cocaine party on Thanksgiving.
No, we're all getting the... We're putting up our out of offices and we're getting the hell out of there.
Right.
Oh, man. And rest in peace to Ellis.
Yes.
Gone but not forgotten. You know?
That dummy. Tina and I will probably sit down and watch it. Probably end up being Christmas Day because we're going to be busy tomorrow night straight out of work. I've been really kind of – the last few years, to be honest with you guys, I've struggled the last couple of years getting into Christmas. This year I have really made it a point to try and – I've decorated my house, which I haven't done in about 4 years. And then for the last few years I just have not – it hasn't been important to me to sit down and watch Christmas movies. And while this year I've just been so busy, I haven't had a chance to watch as many as I want. I did squeeze in A Christmas Carol. I squeezed in Charlie Brown's Christmas and The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. That's my short list of Christmas movies that I've watched this year. I may try and squeeze in a couple more before the holiday season's over. The original animated one.
Oh, you found 15 minutes of time? Sorry, every time I'm always amazed. I'm like, damn, Frosty and Grinch are short.
They are. It's like 23 minutes or something like that. Yeah. Oh, that was and funny you mentioned that. That's exactly why I watched it. I'm like, it's 8:30. I'm going to wrap it up here pretty soon. Oh, this is only 23 minutes. Let me put this on. Same thing with Charlie Brown's Christmas. Charlie Brown's Christmas is like 22 and a half minutes or something like that. I put that on the other night. So,
all right, so I'll probably watch it. Favorite Christmas song. Doesn't have to be carols, and you can even be specific by the artist. For instance, we love, oh my gosh, Willie Nelson. What's the song we like, honey? Oh, Frosty. Duh. He does a version of Frosty the Snowman that my wife and I just adore. And there's obviously a lot. DJ, what do you got? Christmas songs. Doesn't have to be traditional carols. Out in the Chipmunks is another one for me to just set the tone. Yeah. Christmas Don't Be Late by Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah. I can give you two of them. I like the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Carol of the Bells, and I love Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I think it's very well done.
That's in the upper half easily of our Christmas carols as well. Because... you know, Clarence is going to get a new saxophone for Christmas, guys.
Yes.
Because he's been such a good boy. R.I.P. Clarence, by the way.
What do you got, Ron? Anything?
What do you got?
Well, of course, look, I have to go along with my people here and pick the Silent Night by the Temptations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun fact for these guys, or for the listeners. When I was first, I was kind of putting together a Christmas playlist because I realized I did not have one on my Spotify. So I was just throwing things out there, much like I am now. Like, everybody, give us one. And that was one. I think that was the one I already had on there that I was like, yes, that's one of the best ones. But Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
Yes. Oh,
yes. One of the greatest Christmas songs of all time. Yes. And Rob just pulled that out of my... He's like, do you have Run DMC? I'm like, no, I don't. And I'm a terrible Christmas...
A terrible host.
I'm a terrible host and a terrible 90s kid. And wow. So, Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC. Awesome.
Yeah, yes. All-time great.
All-time great. I'm trying to think if there's any others that I was listening to SiriusXM and they had a channel on it. It was had some more contemporary ones that I've never heard before that I really, really enjoyed. Because I'm kind of, I like those traditional stuff from the 60s and the 70s and, you know, a bit more just the traditional type sounds that I grew up with. But there's some really more modern Christmas songs that are actually pretty good. It makes it, the names of all of them are remiss. I heard something by Ariana Grande today that was really, really good. She's really good.
Who's the girl? She does this. Ooh, all right, I could ask my wife. Christmas in New York.
What's her name?
Wow. The lady has Christmas in New York. And then also a more modern one. Sia has that one Christmas song. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It's
a whole album.
Yeah, she has a whole Christmas album.
Leah Michelle is Christmas in New York.
Candy Cane Lane. That's what I was thinking of for Sia.
Yes, I heard that one the other day. Candy Cane Lane.
Oh, Candy Cane Lane is so good.
It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. And like I said, I'd never heard it before. I just, like you said, this channel that I found is playing a mix of traditional and a mix of more modern stuff. So I've gotten exposed to some more modern pop singers doing. And again, it was a duet with Kelly Clarkson and Ariana Grande that was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They must really, awesome. Really. And the two of them complement each other really well. So that was a lot of fun. Walking in a Winter Wonderland is probably, it's top 1-2 for me. I love that song.
Really?
Yeah.
Any particular version or person who?
I don't think any way you can
get it.
Any way I can get it. It's just one of those songs.
Hmm. All right. Fair enough.
So.
Nice.
All right. Well, guys, I think we can move on from Christmas unless we've got anything else.
I am good. I'm all shopped. They're not going to listen to the show. What did you get your children? What is everybody excited? Does he have one big gift that you're like, you got everybody? Or they handed you your phone and you were like, here, damn. All right, I'll buy you that.
Okay. Well, my daughter, she likes these kind of stuffed Japanese anime kind of dolls or whatever. I don't know what they are.
Very descriptive. Thank you, Rob.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I don't know. Look, I don't know. You know.
Japanese labubus. Fine. Got it.
So, yeah, basically something like that. And so, you know, I just, yeah. And she's very specific about which ones she wants. So basically I hand her my phone and she picks them out. And then, you know, if they don't, I tell her what the price limit is, you know, and so
she goes right up against that price limit.
Yeah, she picks them out.
So, yeah, if he says $80 or whatever, I'm just pulling a number out. If he says $80, she's looking for everything that's $79.99.
Yeah, and it's...
They never figure in tax, do they?
Well, no.
And so it's and there's some stuff that they get, like, shipped from Japan. So.
Wow, okay.
So I have no idea what this stuff is. They don't, you know, they don't cost that much, so I don't know.
Rob got his credit card stolen by some random Taiwanese company.
I mean, one day I'm going to wake up and I'm, you know, and I don't know. I have some strange charges on my card or something. I don't know.
You're going to be the proud owner of $40,000 in mystery debt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, one day she, you know, I don't know yet, but so far it hasn't happened yet. So,
And you get anything cool for Miles?
Well, he's at that age. Miles is 15. He's at that age now where, like, you know, he answers every question the same way. Like, how was school?
All right. Good.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, and so what do you want? Anything you want for Christmas this year? I don't know.
Oh, God, that's the worst age. Oh. Yeah, once they hit about 15 to probably...
I'll tell you, 13 to 15, and even maybe 16, you start to grow out of it. 13 to 15, and I'm speaking from my own personal experience, is hell for everyone around that boy and that boy. Like, that's just a weird time, and I'm sure it's the same for girls. That's just a weird time in adolescence. So,
yeah,
got them a little sly.
By 13, 14, we're starting to outgrow the toys. Like, because I remember when I was around that age, I've started to outgrow my G.I. Joes and my Transformers and my He-Mans, and I'm like, now I'm starting to get into clothing and fashion, and, you know, I've discovered, you know, I may want to upgrade my look so that I can start attracting potential, you know, potential females. And so you start, your priorities shift at that age. And it's a little awkward when you, cause you're still figuring that out. You're like, okay, you know, last year I got, you know, G.I. Joes and a tank and a Castle Grayskull. And now this year I want jeans, you know, I want a couple new pair of jeans and maybe, I don't know, maybe a new backpack for school or something. It's like, and it literally happens overnight. I don't know if it did for you, Jason, but for me, it was literally like this overnight thing.
I never grew out of it, man. For those of you without the visual aids,
I'm grown-ass men.
Hey, look at us showing our Roman Reigns dollies on the TV show.
We're grown ass men and we're back in the toy phase again.
Hold on, give me a minute here.
He's got at least one. See, that's the trick though. You can't ever let it go.
No,
I think part of adulthood and like when you really start to figure out adulthood and like, in my opinion, like 23, 24, 25, that's where you really start to pick up steam and be like, oh, hang on, I got this, is rediscovering your inner kid. You know, whatever that may be. Even if it's as simple as like getting back to, hey, I used to watch football every Sunday or whatever. And now for some reason I don't. It doesn't have to be, you know, wrestling dollies or whatever. That's my thing. There you go. Inbox still. Look at you. I have that exact one on my desk at work.
No, I took Roman out of the case. Roman, The Fiend, and Stone Cold are all out of the case. Alice Cooper and Cobra. I picked up Cobra Commander the other day. I was very, not the other day, like a month or two ago. Very proud of this guy. He was at Target.
The new retro ones, right?
Yeah. From the Real American Hero.
Yeah, so they like took the old molds and like spiced them up and gave them joints, but they kept the character of that. And I don't mean the character of Cobra Commander; I mean the character those toys have.
Yeah, exactly. It's very very retro while still being modern.
My buddy has a whole squad. What are the Cobra soldiers called? The Viper Commandos? Dude, he has a whole squad of those Viper Commandos, and they are awesome.
Yeah, they're badass. They've got, Target has a whole set of these things. At some point, I make a trip over to Target and, you know, line my shelves with more ridiculous stuff. Tina tells me I'm such a child. But that's a great starting point for discussion, Jason. As we talk about Christmas, we talk about the stuff that we used to get as kids. Rediscovering your childhood, because I've told my entire family, my son, my girlfriend, my daughter, I am going through a second childhood. I am surrounded by action figures, comic books, graphic novels, WWE title belts, and my new hobby is building model cars, which I did as a kid. So, yeah, it's like Jason said, that you reach that, there's like cycles in life. As a kid, would become
loop back around
for school, and you get out of the toys, and you want to, you know, part your hair a certain way, and wear nice clothes, and clean yourself up. Then you hit like the 20s, and it's about work and everything. And now that I'm in my 50s, it is definitely, you know, and I have grown up money. You know,
that's the dangerous thing.
That helps. Yeah.
No, it helps, but it also can get you in trouble real fast. It was good that you couldn't afford like, you know, the assault carrier of G.I. Joe, and then next week get the Turtles blimp, and then the next week get the Technodrome, and then the next week get the Megazord. Because that's what we're all doing now, and then suddenly our significant others look at us and go, hey, we'd like to go on vacation. We'd like to do this. We'd like to do that. And we go, uh-oh.
Why do we have all this crap shoved in this one room that looks like a mess? So, yeah, but it's all good fun, man. We hit the antique stores probably once every couple of months, and they always have some kind of stuff in there, and I'm just like, oh, I want to buy it, but I better not.
It's brutal, dude.
Eventually I'm going to run out of room in this place. So,
because who doesn't love stuff?
I love stuff.
Just bury me. I know I can't take it with me. Just bury me like a pharaoh.
Yeah.
But all my stuff, all my Warhammer dollies, all my Funko Pops, just put them all in the box with me and put me under.
Pretty much, they have to bury me in a crypt with all the, I don't know what I'm going to do with all these model cars when I go. Like, I literally have
those. Because you actually built them, put them together, painted them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those are something you leave to your children. Like, yeah, my Funko Pop collection, unless one of my nieces or nephews like really wants it, I'll be like, all right, well, donate it to charity or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's your, hang on, the models is a little, don't put those in the same category, dude, because that's your artistry and that's your, like,
right.
That's your passion, you know? You're not just a collector.
Well, no, I mean, I collect the kits. You look around, there's like probably 40 kits that I need to build, but there's probably 40 models sitting on that I've worked on over the last two and a half years. Yeah, I mean, if my kids want them, they're welcome to have them. I may also donate some of them if they don't want them, because I know there are certain places around here that will take donations like that, and they just set them up on display and things. So I have a plan-ish for those things, but I'm also...
Keep a few of them aside. Even if they say no, keep a few of them aside. I'm just going to tell you with the gift of... You know, hindsight now, and you know, now two dead parents, one in law and one my own.
Yeah.
You reconsider those things and you think those things that suddenly weren't interesting to you at all. You're like,
yeah,
I would enjoy having one of those or something like that. Well, so it's like, I would tell you, don't go scorched earth if they ever say, like, no, we don't want your stupid cars. All right, keep a few aside just in case.
Well, and that makes perfect sense because my dad's mom, Granny, Artifights on, that Granny. she was
a patron saint of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
She really is. But she was a quilter throughout her whole life, and she probably made hundreds and hundreds of quilts. And my dad probably has dozens and dozens of those over the years. And that was her thing. She would make quilts, and she would give them out as birthday and Christmas gifts. I probably have a dozen of them, give or take. My kids have got a couple. She made baby quilts for the kids when they were born. And so, you know, we've inherited all those things. My dad's skill is woodworking. He makes little shelves and shadow boxes. And I've got a couple of his pieces in my room now. And I've got, but as he's getting older and he's doing less and less of that, he started to part ways with a lot of his work that he's done. And he gave my brothers and I a bunch of that stuff. So we have it. My landlord doesn't like for us to put holes in the wall, so I can't really put any display shelves up, but I have those things, and he's probably got twice as many still sitting in a closet somewhere that he's just waiting to get rid of.
There could be a cool gimmick he could do with Granny's quilts and his woodworking skills.
Well, that's
the thing. I thought you were about to say you were going to frame pieces of them or something like that, because that's an interesting way to go. Like, no, how people turn old sweatshirts or old blankets into, like, pillows. You can fold them together and stitch them and whatnot.
Tina's done that with... My girlfriend's a seamstress, and she's made a couple of quilts. And she did that with her mom's best friend passed away about 3 or 4 years ago. And they took all her clothes, her old shirts and everything like that. Tina cut them all out, made this beautiful quilt, and gave it to her widower for Christmas. And it was awesome. One of the most emotional things. He was so – it was a beautiful sight. It really was just a warm, fuzzy, wonderful sight to see how much he appreciated that. So, yeah, that's absolutely – and I have a whole ton of shirts that one day when, you know, I don't actually wear them anymore. She's going to – some wrestling shirts, my band T-shirts, you know, things like that she's going to make a quilt out of.
Yeah, I'm always – you know, even though I love stuff, I am always one of those people like who says, in the end of the day, it is just stuff. But the stuff you were just talking about, that's not just stuff. That's like pieces of something, you know?
Yeah, that's
having something like that to hold on to is really, really cool. So
yeah, it's like some of my granny's quilts are so old, they're tattering. The batting is what do you call it? What does Tina call it? It's the seam around it. There's a name for it. Tina knows it. She's got to repair some of it, but... Yeah, I'll never get rid of it. And I'm actually a little frustrated because my ex has the kids' baby quilts, and she won't give them to me. So I'm a little frustrated about that situation, but I don't push because I don't want to start a fight, and it'll start a fight. So.
Eventually, they will. She will no longer own them, and somebody else will have to own them. So thankfully, I think in the end of the day, whether that's now or 30 years from now, they will end up in the right plan, the right hands, hopefully.
They will. I hopefully my kids end up with those. Even if they put them in a box and never look at them, it's a thing that my grandmother made, and it's special to me and special to them. I know you asked a question earlier. I am not going to go over what I got my kids for Christmas because, one, my son lives in the house and he's on the other side of the wall. And I know my daughter listens to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast from time to time.
Does she?
She does. She follows it on Spotify. She listens. Well, we had her on an episode a long time ago.
I remember that, but like, I'm just shocked like that she'd be half interested in anything her dumb old dad is doing.
She finds it neat. She finds
good
for all the issues that she and I have had. She finds some of the things that I do right. Like she loves these model cars that I do. I actually made one for her. I was sitting on the shelf waiting for her. I did it for her birthday this year, but she was away. She was out of state. She wasn't here for her birthday. It's been sitting here waiting on her. I'll probably give it to her for Christmas. But she loves it. I took her to Hobby Lobby. She picked it out. Tell me what color you want it. Tell me what you want it to look like. I did the whole thing up for her. So
that's awesome, man.
So
what did she end up picking?
Hang on. I don't have the box anymore, so I don't remember exactly what kind of car it is. It's a little muscle car.
Oh, nice.
But
Emma, right? Nice.
Yeah. That's what she picked out.
There you go.
Oh, that is nice.
So,
is that a Camaro?
Yep. I think it might be. The hood popped up a little bit. It might be a Camaro, like I said. I got rid of the box, and I don't remember exactly. But, yeah, it's what she picked out.
Does it have a manufacturer logo on the front? Or is it just generic muscle car?
No, it's actually a brand. I've still got the book in my drawer. I keep all the books. I get rid of the boxes because I don't have the space. But the directions, I keep the directions. So I've got that in there somewhere.
There you go.
It may be a Camaro. That's awesome. Though.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a cool feeling. I wouldn't know, but like, it's got to be a cool feeling if your kids even take one minute iota of interest in anything you're interested in.
Yeah, it really is a good feeling. That's something like I always envied my dad because he's so good with the woodworking. Like his angles and his measurements and everything are just flawless. I don't have that skill. I didn't inherit that skill. My middle brother inherited it. But what do we got going on here? What's up?
Oh, no, sorry. I was showing something to my wife. And so what else are we just – any more Christmas topics we want to get to before we get into the meat and potatoes and things? Anybody else, favorite Christmas desserts? We did that. Favorite Christmas songs? We did that.
And Christmas movie we did.
Yeah, I think we're pretty good. Yeah. Oh, okay. What was your favorite Christmas? What was your favorite Christmas gift you got ever?
Ooh.
But and I'm not going to tell you this is the best gift I ever got, or it's not even close. However, in terms of cost, rarity, how hard it was for my parents or my whoever to get, this was the easiest thing in the world, but I already gave it away earlier. And one year, probably 1997, right before the special edition came out, I got a toy Luke Skywalker lightsaber. It was green. It was the kind that you flick your wrist and it opens up and you know, hit the button and the stupid kids, you children listening to me now with your LED fucking lightsabers that just light up and they go all the way. The light actually comes out of the tube and you see the lightsaber extend, children. And that, if I turn that on in this, I have like two lights on. It's nighttime in this house. If I turn that on in here, it would light up the whole friggin' room. You know what our lightsabers were? It was literally a flashlight with a clear plastic tube slapped on it. That was it. And you know what? It's still one of the coolest things that was ever opened on Christmas, ever.
Yep. How about you, Rob?
If I had to pick one, probably...
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Well, I loved Transformers when I was a kid. And so there were a couple of years when my biggest gift of the year was a Transformer. So one year I got Optimus Prime. And another year I got Shockwave. And
nice.
Shockwave was one of them I really wanted because...
Soundwave? No, Shockwave. You mean Soundwave?
No, Shockwave. There was a Shockwave. He was another gun. He was a laser pistol.
Yeah, he was like a big...
Oh, the Decepticon dude. They're all Decepticons. But yeah, okay. He was like Megatron. He turned into a gun, but he wasn't.
Yeah. And in the comics, he actually killed Megatron and took over.
Yes. It's...
Yeah.
I think they made him a bounty hunter in like the newer.
They did in the newer Transformers movies.
That's what he is. And he has the real cool head. That's why you like him. His head is fucking weird and cool compared to the other Transformers. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was probably that one. Yeah. When you transformed into the gun, like you pull the trigger and it the barrel like lit up and made noise and everything.
Yeah, it was like a ray gun. It was cool as shit. My friend had it.
He was creepy because he actually looked like when he was in humanoid mode or whatever it is, he still looked like a robot, a Terminator, like someone designed to kill you. So yeah.
He had no face. He had that like that little eye thing in the center.
Yeah, he had the orange light or red light. That's it.
Yeah.
He had no expression. He had like, because even if they had the steel faces, like they would move little parts of their face to like give them fake eyebrow movements, and their mouths would move and stuff. And he was not that. He was a robot.
For me, I actually have two, but I'll only pick one. I'll go with the one from my childhood because while we're talking about toys and things like that, I was big into He-Man. He-Man was my thing. I had a ton of He-Man toys. Had the vehicles. And one year I actually got Castle Grayskull, and that is, up until just a few short years ago, the greatest Christmas morning ever was opening Castle Grayskull.
That's like a holy grail little boy present. Like that's it was.
Yes,
that's huge. My brother got it before I was born, I believe, and so we did have a Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, that was and that ruled for years. I did finally get a replacement as my favorite, but that's the one I'll go with since we're talking toys and kid stuff.
No, now you can't give us the tease until next year's Christmas. So what's the other favorite?
Tina bought me a bass guitar about 7 or 8 years ago. And I had a bass guitar years ago, and I played it and, you know, had a little band and everything. And then I had the house built in 2003. We moved in 2004. In 2005, we got robbed. We had a break-in. We got robbed. My guitar and my amp was among many, many, many thousands of dollars worth of things that were stolen from us. And I never replaced it. You know, I became a dad. You don't have a lot of money. Guitars are expensive. We lived on a budget. So I just never had one. I never played, never really picked it back up. And she and I, the funny thing is, she bought this son of a bitch right out from underneath my nose, because we went to the music store and I'm left-handed. So it's hard for me to find left-handed bass guitars. So we're in there and I finally find one, and it's in a price point that's not outside of my reality at this point in my life. So I'm looking at it, I'm like, you know what? Let me keep an eye on this. Nobody's going to buy this. There are very few left-handed bass players in my area. Nobody's going to buy this. It's not a high-end bass. It's on the lower end of the expensive scale. So it'll be here a little while. So I was like, I'll look at it. I'll keep an eye on it. Meanwhile, while I'm looking at other things in the store, she goes over and talks to the shop owner and says, look, I'm going to buy this for him. Can I put a deposit? And she made like this whole deal with the guy. Bought it while I was standing there. And
Under your nose?
Right under my nose, dude. Right under my
nose.
You had
no idea whatsoever at the time?
No. Total surprise. And she was like, because we lived in this itty bitty little apartment. It was a little 2-bedroom apartment when we first started dating. And she had it wrapped up in one of Granny's quilts in one of the closets, hoping like hell I would go pilfering through that closet sometime and see this wrapped up with a blanket thing, you know, hanging in there. So she managed to hide it all that time. And she handed it, and she actually has this on video. She hands it to me. I open it up, and when I realize what it is, I just start crying. Like, I think that video may actually be on her Facebook.
That's nice.
So, yeah, that replaced Castle Grayskull as my absolute favorite all-time Christmas gift. But if we're talking about kid stuff and toys, it's Castle Grayskull.
But still, like, Castle Grayskull is still right there.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking like 1A, 1B.
Right.
So, yeah.
Do you still have the Castle Grayskull somewhere, by the way?
God, no. I wish. I wish. Dude, I wish I had half the toys that I had when I was a kid. Because I had some cool shit. I really did.
I mean, I have an excuse. Our house burned down when I was in sixth grade. So,
yeah.
So I moved
out at 17. It was a kind of a decision, and I left a lot of stuff behind. My younger brothers inherited most of my toys, and then my parents split up, and a lot of that stuff probably ended up in the trash. So, so decisions were made.
Hey, as we said earlier, it is only stuff.
It is only stuff.
You always get more stuff.
So let's close out this segment by selling some t-shirts. I want you, the listener, you've been listening to us all this time. You know what we do. You know what we're about. I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, get some last-minute holiday shopping done. Check out your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcast. We've all got t-shirts represented there. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast is there. Go check them out. Pick one up. The starving artists on these shows will thank you. Your bodies will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. Still time to get some gifts. Holiday shopping's not over yet. Get on there, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. So we're going to move on from Christmas. We aren't going to talk a whole lot of wrestling tonight. We do want to talk about movie trailers. And we got a big, big, big tease this week. Started off with the water being a little muddy, basically ripping the Band-Aid off here. We got our first tease for Avengers Doomsday, which is due out in 12 months, December 18th of 2026. And for the last 48 to 72 hours, there have been some quote-unquote trailers floating around, one most notably about Steve Rogers. And what we got was like somebody's camera phone videoing something on the screen. And then today, Marvel, again, ripping the Band-Aid off, went ahead and released the official Steve Rogers trailer for teaser, I should say. Not even a real trailer. It's a teaser. For Avengers Doomsday, again, due out in December of 2026. And this was Jason's idea. He thought we might kick this around. Like, it's only about a minute and a half long. There's not a lot, but there's also a lot to digest and pick apart with this. I'm going to assume we've all three seen the trailer at this point.
Yes.
Okay. Then you saw the official one, or did you see the whatever somebody threw out there?
I saw the official one. I'm not watching that bootleg shit.
Yeah. Okay. And Jason, you've seen it, yes?
Several times.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, so there's a lot to unpack here. And it's, earlier on in the year, when they started making the casting announcements for what was going to be Avengers Doomsday and Avengers Secret Wars, everybody got hyped. Obviously, Robert Downey Jr. back, not as Iron Man as of yet, back as Doctor Doom. But making it official after he said he was retired, said he wasn't going to do any more, Chris Evans officially back as Steve Rogers. And as the video opens up, it opens up with the house that they leave Steve Rogers in at the end of Endgame. You know, he was, you know, dancing with Peggy Carter, and that's, he kind of went back in time, returned all the stones, and then decided to stay in, I would assume that's like the late 40s, early 50s with Peggy Carter. So that's where the scene starts off, and it's just a few glimpses of the house, glimpse of the motorcycle, couple of glimpses of him, and then finally a full-on face shot of him holding a small baby. So like I said,
don't forget the accessory.
You can't forget that, because that's important. That's very, very important to the context of what's coming in the future. So I'll start with you, Rob. What are your takeaways from this for now? And is this like, is there anything in particular that you're like super curious about?
Well, okay. So I found it very amusing that there were people on the internet who took that as a sign that, oh, well, he's going to be Captain America again, and they're getting rid of Sam Wilson. Well, first of all, and like, can y'all read? Like the caption at the end of the trailer said, Steve Rogers will return in Doomsday. Okay, did not say Captain America. So y'all should take that as a...
It also doesn't say Steve Rogers, Earth 626. Because there have already been straight up other Steve Rogers from other timelines already established in the Marvel movies. So they don't even have to be like fancy about that one. There's the one from when they put the stones back, you know, that Cap fought himself, and et cetera, et cetera. So...
Yes, so...
And I just got to... Sorry, my segment is going to be the full thing of this. The Russo brothers love to lie to you, guys.
Oh, yeah.
The Russo brothers...
You should never believe what's in the trailer as is. How many times has this happened? Because I remember in the Infinity War trailer, that scene where they were all like running out onto the battlefield...
The Infinity War trailer where Steve Rogers wearing Captain America, whatever, was wearing the Wakandan steel or Wakandan shields, and there's War Machine and the Hulk and everyone charging through a Wakandan forest.
Right.
And it is the capstone moment of the Avengers Infinity War trailer, like, holy shit, this is what we're doing!
And then the real
and that scene was never in
no, it was
any
not.
Of the Avengers movies. Not Infinity War, not and no. For the context of that scene, even in that movie, the Hulk never existed in that movie.
Exactly.
The Hulk was never there. Never existed, and that scene was not suddenly like, oh, let's change the Hulk around and change Hulk's whole story arc. They spent however much money making that scene of the charge at the end just so they could fake you out in the trailer.
Exactly. So you shouldn't, don't believe anything you see here.
And I mean, there's a million small ones, like the scene where Thanos is clenching his fist with the and he's on Titan. And he's about to beat the shit out of Captain America and Spider-Man. In the trailer, he's got the time stone, excuse me, the power stone and the space stone. In the movie, he's got all but one.
Yes. So don't, you know, now look, if you read the comic book, you know that basically, we're probably going to get it. There's going to be some type of Steve Sam reunion probably at some point. But
you ready? Can I tell you the most off the wall thing I heard? Because I just want to get to this. Because somebody told me this probably a half hour before I got home.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay, at some point, Captain America is going to lose the Shield, like drop it, or and I'm being very deliberate. Captain America in the current continuity, you know, the black guy is going to lose the Shield, accidentally stolen from him whatsoever, whatever. Steve's going to find it. Steve's going to hold on to it. And Steve's going to get really, 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 really old. And Steve goes back, and that Steve is the one who gives the Shield to Captain America at the end of Infinity War.
Okay. Look.
So it all turns out that he actually wasn't Captain America the whole time, and he still gets to have a cool arc that loops back all the way around. Okay. Otherwise, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. That dude is going to turn heel or die within the first half hour of that movie based on that trailer. Steve Rogers is not making it, but everybody.
Yeah, at least the Steve Rogers that you guys are used to. Now, some of us are expecting at some point we're going to get the Hydra cap Steve Rogers, and that's what we're hoping for. And that is going to throw y'all for a whole lot of y'all for a loop.
These movies have been out for so long that we almost have a full generation, right?
Yeah.
So imagine like growing up as a kid, like grade school, middle school, whatever. And like, there's just one dude that you're just like, wow, this guy is just everything that is good. Everything that I should strive for. Everything that should be, you know, like, this is what it means to be a person. And this is what it means to be, God forbid, an American. And then 15 years later, you find out he was a Nazi. That's 2025, baby. Let's do it.
Yeah. Look, I mean, honestly, look, it's going to be Hollywood Hogan-esque.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be that shocking. Yeah.
It's not going to be shocking to us because we're just sitting there.
We're comic book nerds here.
Yeah, there are two groups of people that come with this. Yay, Steve Rogers is back as Captain America. Number one, there's a group of awful people who don't like the fact that a black man is Captain America.
Yes.
And we don't fucking care about those people. And number two, there is a smaller subset that is just like, no, I want my Avengers. I want my Steve Rogers. I want my Robert Downey Jr. I spent so much of a formative part of my life with these people. It would be all of a sudden like, you know, Star Wars movies that didn't have any mention of Luke Skywalker or they weren't in it, let's just say. None of these people are in it. And suddenly those movies are received differently. Interesting. So I get it to a certain extent, but also let's all move on.
Yeah, because look, you know what? Because look, I'm not getting Natasha Romanoff back. Okay, that's what I wanted back. She ain't coming back. So
yeah, no, that's a done deal.
Get over it, people.
Everybody stays.
I'm good. I can't ask for anything else. My guy is leading. Bucky Barnes leads the Avengers right now. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. This seems what everybody's hoping and what everybody's and I think some of this is, again, just fan service and things like that. There's a sentiment over the last 2 to 3 since Endgame that Marvel has really been in a tailspin. Some of the later projects have not been received very well. Some of them received quite poorly. Some of the TV shows just did not do well. Some of those actors and actresses will not be returning. One of the ones that got seemingly the axe, which bothers me, was the Eternals. Eternals, and I don't want to go too deep on all the projects that flopped and, you know, what people had to say about them. But because I'm speaking in a broader term of, and I hate using this term because I didn't dislike a lot of the later Marvel stuff as much as a lot of people did. But what people seem to be hoping for is a quote unquote return to form for Marvel in terms of, you know, not only like the continuity of the stories, but the quality of the movies themselves. And it's interesting because, God, I don't even know how to have this discussion because I didn't dislike a lot of the later movies. Like, I didn't care for the Marvels. It was fine. I really enjoyed the Eternals. I loved the shit out of Shang-Chi. I didn't care for Thor, Love, and Thunder. So,
Come on, dude. Thor, Love, that was one of the best offerings in the... See?
No, God, no. God, it was bottom three. Bottom three.
Get out of here.
That being said, there were things about it that I enjoyed. I thought they handled Jane Foster's arc very, very well.
Hold on. One question. You saw Love and Thunder. That's two questions. Question and follow-up. You saw Love and Thunder in theaters, correct?
Correct. That's the last Marvel movie I saw in theaters.
Question, follow-up question. Did you see Natalie Portman's biceps in that movie?
I did, and that's what I'm saying. What they did with
James... So, it was one of the greatest movies of the later Marvel run, right?
That aspect of it was fantastic.
There you go.
Everything that Natalie Portman did was incredible. I don't like comedy Thor. I just don't. Like, I thought the whole comedy arc with Thor was just... I enjoyed Ragnarok for aspects of it. I didn't entirely care for the comedic turn that they did with this character.
Watch The Dark World on repeat, because I do love The Dark World. That's not an
interesting... I enjoyed Dark World. It's not my favorite. It's probably bottom 10 Marvel movies, but...
So I'll tell you this. You're leading me into like one of my favorite points about like the MCU and like where we're at now. Nothing's received well and whatnot. It's because they've kind of done everything. What I mean by that is the first MCU was so cool because it was a smorgasbord. It was a variety. Like Iron Man was a typical superhero movie, and they're all superhero movies. But also, Captain America was a World War II period piece.
Yes. And
Captain America, the Winter Soldier, was a spy movie. Was an action spy movie. But that was a straight up spy movie. And like, you know, we have, and then Thor, especially Thor and the Dark World, Thor and Thor the Dark World, they were high fantasy. And that, DJ, I appreciate that so much.
I enjoyed the high fantasy movies.
The aesthetics, the way everybody talks, the way everybody like, and they didn't totally abandon the humor. So I think, and in getting to my point about the later MCU, the problem is they abandoned that individuality and they said, make everything like Joss Whedon, the Avengers. Make everybody funny, a little more action. Obviously it's going to be serious, like, and I'm not making fun of Joss Whedon, the Avengers, like Joss Whedon's Avengers, like that was insane. It got us here, guys. So, but I think they started stripping the individuality from the movies. And I think even though not everyone was well received, I think in the era where they did Eternals and they did the TV shows and whatnot, they were trying to return to that. Because again, Falcon and the Winter Soldier was more of a spy thriller soldier movie.
I enjoyed the hell out of Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, me too, yeah.
I'm the worst person to ask about that because I'm insanely partial. And my guy, Bucky Barnes, and frankly, Sebastian Stan, fucking cooked in that. Like his psychologists and stuff.
Reveal as Falcon in the new and improved comic accurate Captain America costume, dude, I had goosebumps watching that. I was watching, I'm like, that's fucking awesome. Like, that's cool as shit. So, there were things about that I enjoyed. For other projects, though, I just think, like, I think they gave the directors too much creative liberty, and then they took way too many chances with things that just didn't pan out. Like, this is another hard one to discuss because the death of Chadwick Boseman really, really changed the trajectory of a lot of things, not just for the Black Panther movies. But I think in my head, when they introduced him and when I looked at where his story arc was going, he was heir apparent to Steve Rogers, Captain America, not in taking over the Captain America mantle, but in being a major.
He was supposed to lead the Avengers to the next
phase. Yes, totally he was convinced. The next phase. I'm convinced that he was the next phase to lead them.
He was going to be the Tony to someone's Cap, if not the out-and-out leader of the Avengers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they've done that in the comics. They've done that in the comics plenty of times where he's led the Avengers or been like one to someone else's 1B that like, hey, we have a conflict here.
Yeah. But as I get into the second Black Panther movie, again, there are areas of all of these projects that were moments of brilliance. Like, there are moments of brilliance in the second Black Panther movie. I don't like how they portrayed Submariner. I just, that whole story arc lost me on the whole thing. I dug the fact that, you know, she's taken over the mantle, and there were just things. And I think that they've just taken way too many creative liberties with certain things. And I think it turned a lot of people off. The harder fight that they were going to fight is they led in with their biggest names, and the casting was just chef's kiss perfect.
Yeah.
With what they did with the first phase of movies. And it was hard to top that moving forward. And again, it goes back to what you said, Jason, a generation of people grew up with those 10, 12 years. We're talking about this is a decade block of time. This is a significant amount of time, especially when you're 10, 11, 12, and you wrap this up and you're drinking age. Okay.
Yeah.
You have grown up with these people. It's very hard to let those go.
Hey, dude, these are their Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Indiana Jones. These are their Jack Ryan, whatever. Probably not many kids looked up to Jack Ryan as a kid. But I did because my dad was weird. But, these are their heroes.
Yeah. My first James Bond was Roger Moore. I mean, I knew of Sean Connery because that was my mom's Bond. But Roger Moore was my James Bond. And then all of a sudden, Timothy Dalton comes along, like the Prince Baron from, you know, the Flash Gordon movie. Stop it. And then.
How about Pierce Brosnan?
He was my first. Well, see, I enjoyed Pierce Brosnan, but I went in kicking and screaming after that. I was like, okay, Jesus, they did two movies with Timothy Dalton. Now we've got Pierce Brosnan. We've got Remington Steele.
Out with Goldeneye, did you feel differently?
Oh, 100%. I loved Goldeneye. Okay,
and even with my experience now, it goes Daniel Craig, and then 1A, 1B is Sean Connery, Pierce Brosnan, and depending on the day.
Yeah.
I'll put him in.
I'm hit or miss with Daniel Craig. I haven't watched all the Craig movies. I watched Casino Royale, and I think I watched the one right after it.
See, I again, you remember I just said Jack Ryan was one of my heroes growing up, protagonist of the Tom Clancy Hunt for Red October, you know, et cetera series, that I loved when I was 12. Cause again, my dad is awesome and weird. So one of the things along with Tom Clancy books, I read a lot of the original James Bond books by Sir Ian Fleming. The thing I appreciated once I was a little bit older and the Daniel Craig movies come out, that is the most, and I'm going to sound like a giant fucking nerd here, that is the, Daniel Craig is the most movie accurate, or comic book accurate version of James Bond. Not only because they're telling the same story of him becoming a 00 and like growing.
Yeah.
But also the coldness that he portrays him with and the aloofness and the like, I don't quite know how to interact with humans except in certain circumstances because my childhood was weird. I think that Daniel Craig nailed that perfectly.
Okay.
It was a lot of people like, just depending on when you grew up, for me, like Green Lantern, when I grew up, when I was a kid watching Super Friends, Green Lantern was Hal Jordan, Flash of Barry Allen. There's a whole.
And then when I grew up, Hal Jordan was a piece of shit, and Kyle Rayner was Green Lantern.
Yeah, and then for some people, it was John Stewart. And then for some people, it's, in the last 10 years.
For DJ, it's probably Alan Scott.
I'm not that old, you asshole.
World War II era comics.
Alan Scott and Jay Garrick.
I like Jay Garrick. Al.
His Flash is Jay Garrick. His Green Lantern is Al.
My Superman didn't fly. He only jumped.
Yeah, he jumped tall buildings in a single bound, literally.
But for some, or, you know, this is a wrestling podcast. just the way some people tapped out when Hogan went away. Some people tapped out when Rock and Austin went away. Some people tapped out. Some people are going to tap out now that John Cena's gone.
Yeah.
That's going to happen, guys.
It's what it is. So for a lot of people, they got the Infinity story ended, and you know, like Tony Stark
died,
and Steve Rogers went to be with Peggy and all that. And for a lot of people, it was just, you know what? Hey,
I'll tell you this. If they kill or remove James Buchanan Barnes in these next two movies, I will seriously, like, and that's not even like me being funny about how much I love Bucky. Like, I would revisit how I approach the Marvel movies. Obviously, I wouldn't be like, all right, I'm not going to watch anymore. I'm still a freaking nerd. I'm going to watch some of them, but I would not. I'd be like, all right. Like, now they've taken all of the characters that I don't get. I love it. I love, you know, Captain America, and I love Iron Fist, and I love a lot of characters that they've developed. But they're not my OGs, man. And once all the OGs are gone, I don't know. I'm just going to look at it differently.
Like, yeah. I mean, for me, you know, a lot of people like, you know, there are a lot of people who like Yelena, you know, I forgot her last name.
Florence.
Yeah, but you know, for me, I'm just like, no, bring Scarlet back. You know, I don't see her. You know.
It almost feels like we're getting the adopted children here with some of these, and that's not.
Yeah,
some
yeah, yeah no. See, Florence and Scarlet, I'm just like, just the character of Yelena and everything is way more entertaining than anything Scarlet did.
I don't care.
I'm not even putting that on Scarlett Johansson. I'm putting that on everybody, the greater character of Black Widow in the MCU.
Yeah.
You were a MacGuffin. You were a narrator. You were a plot device. You were a thing to move the story along. Very late, they decided to give you some development.
And I do not care. Yeah,
you just like looking at Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, so.
Well, and that's understandable.
I'm not going to throw a fit if they bring her back, buddy.
Pal, I watched a terrible Jurassic Park movie because she was in it.
I mean, terrible. I think this says it all. I will actually throw a fit at the end of both this movie and Secret War, if Steve Rogers, Captain America, or Tony Stark in any capacity are back. I'd be like, nope, I'm done. Like, this we're good. So yeah,
we'll see how it goes. I've liked some of the newer Marvel phase. What are we in phase five now? I've enjoyed it. It's been a little messy in some spots. Like I said, I enjoyed the Eternals more each time I watched it. I watched
Is that
it the
your
first
favorite
time.
Post Endgame piece of content? Because that's what I wanted to ask as a kind of closing question.
Shang-Chi is my favorite. Shang-Chi is my favorite. Yeah, I love
it's
Shang-Chi.
It's very good. It's so good. And you know what? It's why you also like Thor and Thor the Dark World. It is a fantastic, and I mean that in the fantasy way, it is a fantastic adventure with absolutely just lovable characters from top to bottom.
Yes, all of it. Like, it's well cast. Just the whole thing from top to bottom. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think so my that, favorite one... That's it. Probably, Spider-Man No Way Home, because, look.
Yeah.
It's close.
No, look, I mean,
I
look.
I was a Spider-Man kid as a kid. So
they made that movie for me, because I was one of those people that was upset that Andrew Garfield didn't get to finish.
You named your son Miles.
Yes.
You named your son Miles.
Yes. And
it wasn't not after Miles Morales, as far as I know.
Well, kind of, sort of, because,
Did you know Miles Morales existed?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I'm trying to get, dude. You know, Miles' birthday and Miles Morales.
So that was, up. Yeah, so, amongst the names that were floated, you know, of course, Miles was the one we ended up picking, but, I pitched, Logan Xavier,
that didn't land.
All right, Logan is one thing, because I literally have a friend, my friend Trish, named her son Logan because of the Wolverine. Logan Xavier Barnett is a little much, buddy.
Well, that's probably why.
Yeah, you probably should have gone for Logan.
And I also floated
Logan, Master Chief Petty Officer Barnett. Got it.
I can imagine the wife at that point in time just looking at him and going, "No,
absolutely not."
And
that's when the divorce started. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, and I also floated Paul David after Paul David Hewson.
I will give you this. Paul David Bonnet has a real good ring to it.
That actually rolls off the tongue real
nice. That has a presidential ring to it.
That does. That's very, very
Paul David Bonnet. Academy Award winner, Paul David Bonnet.
Yeah. And for those of y'all who are wondering, Paul David Hewson, you know him by his name, his stage name, Bono. Because y'all know him. Yeah.
Bono Bonnet. There you go.
Oh,
that's good. Wow. You saved your kid. Rob.
Yes.
You almost got your kid a lifetime of bullying and you didn't even realize it.
I know. Well, he's got two middle names. So. His full name is Miles William Garrison Bonnet.
Oh, wow. I like Garrison.
Two last names. That's good.
He's got two middle names because William Garrison was an abolitionist.
Okay.
Serious here.
Very cool.
Okay.
Excellent.
Very, very neat. All right. So let's wrap this segment out. You've seen the teaser. Jason, I'm going to start with you. From what you've seen in context with what little we know, does this have you excited for Doomsday a year from now?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I am so excited for Doomsday, especially after that trailer. I cannot wait to be in a theater with these people as they're all excited to just get back to everything. And Captain America's going to come to save the day. And Tony Stark's going to come back to the good side. And we're going to, then they're going to, I don't know, they'll kill Kang or something.
And then he drops
and
the leg.
I am going to be in there in the first 15 minutes when Robert Downey Jr. shows up at Captain America's house and, like, teleports the baby away to some other dimension and kills Steve Rogers in the first 15 minutes of the movie. Because, hang on, there's something happening here. We have a lot of children of superpowered people. And while I don't think that we are in a time where we could I think that we've missed Young Avengers. I don't think that's going to happen anymore because Haley is, like, turning 40 next week. And it's just not going to happen, man. But I think that we could still get to some sort of plot point with the children of the Avengers, you know, racing through time and dimensions and bullshit. And we got Billy and Tommy, the Vision and Scarlet Witch kids. And we got Haley. Yeah. And we now have Steve's kid. And we're going to have where we have Franklin now. Like, yeah, man, there's some. And they showed us the baby. And while I think that, you know, it's going to end poorly for Steve, I don't think, you know, we're going to kill the baby or anything like that. The baby's going to get time teleported or that was a flashback that never existed or something like that. Like that.
It wouldn't surprise me if that's
such,
like in his contract. Like, look, he sat down. He's like, okay, I'm going to do this one more time, but you've got to kill this motherfucker off. Like dead.
Look. I don't even think he'll have in his contract. He'd just look at the Russos and be like, listen, dude, no. You gotta give me you gave me the literal perfect closure. Yeah. You can't get that closure better. Anything, even if I might appreciate what happens, everything after this, I'm putting 10 toes down. It's still worse. It's still fucking worse than Steve gives the shield to Captain America, and boom, we're done. And there was no better ending for either one of their characters, Tony Stark and Steve Rogers, than bam, right then and there.
Yeah.
So it's going to be worse. I don't think it's going to be terrible.
Yeah, and looking, Chris Evans is in his mid-40s. He's reaching that age where he's too old to be doing the Ica Pro.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, the last thing before we move on about Steve Rogers, can we all just finally, like, acknowledge the fact that now we know for a fact he's in the trailers. So when that guy randomly, like, what, like a year and a half ago, all of a sudden exploded and gained like 100 pounds and was ripped as shit and was like walking around like a brick shit house. And we're just like, hey, you doing any movies? He's like, no, man, I don't know. Are you doing Captain America again? They're like, you looking Captain? I don't know. Ask the Russos. I don't know, man. I don't know anything. Stop lying to us. We know. Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look, that was right up there with Adam Copeland. They're like, no, I'm not. I'm just trying to get back in shape, guys. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. I'm an old man trying to stay in shape. That's all it is. Nothing to see here. Stay to the left. So, Rob, are you excited?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes. I'm one of those people. I miss Robert Downey Jr. And I know this is a different role, but Ooh. Downey Jr. is so great as an actor that he's going to absolutely knock us out of the park.
I think he is too.
So the other thing with Steve dying, I can't wait for Robert Downey Jr. to eat this thing alive and play a completely different character than Tony Stark. And again, for the nerds and everyone to get really mad about it. He's not going to be funny. He's not going to be quippy. He's not going to be whatever. Doom is a fucking asshole. Yes, and I think he is going to be more Victor Von Doom than any part of Tony Stark. He'll look like Tony Stark. And he probably, the armor and everything, will have some... Yeah. Iron Man homages and crap like that, but he's going to be an asshole. And Steve Rogers is either going to die or also be an asshole. So
yeah, and
everybody.
Look, I'm really hoping and waiting for the moment where we get Chris Evans saying "Hail Hydra."
Oh, that's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, y'all, Russo, but y'all got to give us that. Y'all got to give us Hydra Cap, even if it's just for a few minutes.
I have that book on my shelf somewhere.
Yes. Somewhere. Secret Empire was one of the best stories they ever wrote.
Yep. Secret Empire was awesome. Yeah.
And you know what was so great about that? That was one of those things where when you were experiencing it live, you go, how? Like, when you actually flip the page and get to that panel after he tosses that dude out of the plane, and it's Cap going, Hail Hydra. And you literally shut the book and have to wait for the next 3 months to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
They got to that moment so awesome, and it's still one of the most, like, holy shit, what are we going to do here moment.
I mean,
the rest was fine.
How they
put that toothpaste back in the tube, it was fine. I won't spoil it for everybody, but it wasn't bad.
The moment was brilliant.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think this moment in this movie could be really, 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 really cool, because this Cap is going to stay evil, be evil, and will probably get killed by one of our heroes in Secret War.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think this is over the course of this movie, and the next one is when they're going to, start introducing the X-Men to the equation here.
I think so. At the very worst, they're a coda at the end of,
for the love of God.
Secret War. But I think they're going to be a coda at the end of Doomsday, and then by the end of Secret War, they're going to be officially part of the universe.
Yes, and for the love of
God. I also think they're going to put the multiverse back in O2.
Yeah, please find somebody younger to play Wolverine, because Hugh Jackman, we talk about too old for the Ike approval.
That poor man's had enough. I love Hugh Jackman. I love his Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman is great, but please.
Eat any more chicken breasts.
Yeah, please.
Once again, even though, like, it left plenty of room for a further cameo and whatnot, Deadpool Wolverine was the perfect ending for that guy.
Yeah.
Let him just walk off.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, yes, give him, I'm sure he'll get a cameo in Secret War and fucking claw somebody and be like, eh, bub, and then he'll disappear. Screw it, man.
Hire Henry Cable. I'm putting my stamp on that. Henry
Cable. He's already technically... The Cavalrine is technically canon in the MCU.
It is. And that was just I popped so hard for that scene, and I pop every time I see it. So
that was,
we're gonna keep going here, and I don't want to do that. Let's wrap it up here. Let's call it a night. I'm excited. The teaser has me excited. They're supposedly going to be dropping more in the coming weeks. We will talk about that as they come along, and that is something we will definitely keep an eye on here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Going to go back around and thank my co-hosts again. Jason, sir, good show tonight. Thank you.
we don't. How much time we got? Because we could still do a quick wrestling retrospective.
No, dude, we're 90 minutes in, and I got to go to bed.
All right, never mind, everybody. We've been having so much fun. My goodness.
Next week we'll do a year in review.
Yeah,
we're going to do a year in review, and we're going to look into our crystal ball.
What was our match of the year? We were all supposed to keep track of it, and I have been loosely. I basically have two that I'll decide between at this point. But
yep.
Yeah, match of the year. Yep. We're going to do a couple of those things. So,
and we're going to gaze into our crystal ball and see what we think is going to happen next year in the world of pro wrestling. The host of the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob, sir, thank you. Thank you for another good night.
Good to be back. Always a pleasure.
And you, the listener, thank you for another awesome year of podcasting. Thank you for coming along this ride with us. I know we were all over the road tonight. I wanted to do something a little bit different, break away from the wrestling and just talk about what's going on in the world, what's going on with life. I think we had a good show here tonight. Again, I'm DJ. Thank you guys as always for listening. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here until next week.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.